Lecture topic encompassing dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la takunu kalladhina nasullaha fansahum anfusahum. أولئك هم الفاسقون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحمني بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتني وارحمني أن أتكلف ما لا يعنيني وارزقني حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عني أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama-i kiram, brothers and elders. These gatherings are for the purpose of tazkir, for muzakara, a reminder, a revision. And this is by the command of Allah Ta'ala that we need to keep revising and reminding ourselves. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, remind. Verily a reminder keeps benefiting the believers. So the reminder is first and foremost for the speaker, and it's for one and all. And we all need to keep reminding ourselves and reminding others also. This is an ongoing zeal in a mu'min. When a person has business running in his blood, then you will find him all the time, especially now if he has growing up children who now have to be groomed into the business. So there'll be every opportunity that there will be some advice regarding how to go about things, how to maximize the profits, how to make it happen, how to turn the figures. There'll be something or the other that will keep coming through. Every opportunity will be seized, because it's an opportunity to teach something, to advise something, because that will pay its dividends later. So when there's business running in the veins, and that will become the way in which we will go about things, a mu'min does business also. Business and tijarat, this is mentioned in many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and very great virtues for him too. Provided it is done in the correct way, at-tajiru saduqul amin. That trader and that businessman who is saduq and amin, who is truthful and trustworthy. So now together with fulfilling the obligations of deen, staying away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, and to earn a halal rizq, he undertook the path of trade and being a person in business. But he went about conducting himself in this manner. As-saduq al-ameen. He's truthful, truthful to Allah Ta'ala obviously first and foremost, and truthful to people around him, whoever he deals with. And he's trustworthy, and he'll be raised ma'an nabiyyin wa siddiqeen wa shuhada. He'll be raised on the day of Qiyamah with the Anbiya alayhi salam. Subhanallah, it's a mind-boggling virtue. Something that we can't really ever imagine in this dunya. What virtue is being mentioned? That he'll be raised among the Anbiya alayhi salam, the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada on the day of Qiyamah. So in any case, that too is part of deen when it's done correctly. But that is not the purpose for which insan was created. So mu'min, his veins flow with the zeal of iman. He does business, if he's in some profession, whatever he is, he'll carry on with whatever he has been, well, has learned to earn his risk with, but he'll do it within the limits of Shariat. But what flows in his veins is the zeal of iman and the enthusiasm to earn the dividends of the akhirah. That is his zeal. That is what he really aspires for. So he'll go about day-to-day life, but he won't lose sight of the most important aspect in his life. And this is the most important aspect. And therefore, because this is the most important thing, and this is what flows in his veins, then he will all the time, within the four walls of his home, his family, his children, whenever he gets an opportunity, wherever it's in a suitable moment, to share some advice of deen, to remind one another, to highlight some sunnah, some advice, something that will bring our consciousness towards Allah Ta'ala again. So in any case, this is the purpose of these gatherings, a reminder, a tazkeen, muzakara, a revision of things. And in the Quran Sharif, Allah has asked us to keep reminding. So Allah Ta'ala made this reminder beneficial for us. The reminder is always beneficial, but it is for us to take the benefit. So this is the purpose, the niyat that we should have. That it is not just a get-together or just a program. It is to give a reminder to ourselves and take back and take along the reminder. And Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that it gets translated into practical life. In this little dua that was recited, this is part of a longer dua which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. So this is one short portion of that lengthy dua. And in this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him to ask. And now this teaching to Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was actually, he was the means, it was meant to be taught to the entire ummah. Allah Ta'ala reward the sahaba ikram abundantly, that they then passed it on. Today we are sitting here to discuss it. They passed it on, the muhaddisin preserved it, and today we have the great good fortune that we can also be learning this. So in this dua, there are three aspects that are asked for. Now the first point in this is, that there's so many du'as that are in the ahadith, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself asked, and which he taught the sahaba, and which is like every aspect of life is covered in these du'as. But the question now for ourselves is, one is this very wording that is in the hadith sharif, perhaps we are not familiar with it, but du'a in general, how much of our time daily gets dedicated to dua? Whereas that's our link to Allah Ta'ala. That's the link that we have, direct link to our Creator, to our Rabb. People, any problem they have, they're looking for which speed dial, the contact. But the contact and that speed dial is totally useless if Allah Ta'ala doesn't want it to happen. Allah wills it to become the means, it'll become the means. Otherwise it's totally useless. Now the connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, how often do we make dua and connect ourselves to our Rabb, the Creator, in whose control is everything? That's a lesson to learn in this, in these many, many du'as, that there should be dedicated time for dua. And asking all our needs from Allah Ta'ala. So in any case in this dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Number one, Allahumma arhamni bitarkil ma'asi abadam ma abqaitani. Irhamni, ya Allah, shower your mercy upon me. Now we all, every person has any slight inkling of what's the meaning of rahmat and mercy. Every single person is desirous of it. Every single person wants the rahmat. Now here there's a very specific angle of that rahmat being highlighted. So everything, we are totally dependent on Allah Ta'ala's rahmat. To take the one breath, Sheikh Saadi rahmatullah alayhi says, every breath requires true shukr. Because if it wasn't Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy, we won't be able to breathe that, take that breath in. And if a person for whatever reason can't breathe in, then that will be moth. And then if he took that breath in, and then he gets stuck in, he can't exhale, that will be moth. Every breath is deserving of true shukr. And in order to express that shukr, he'll require to be breathing. So this will continue till infinity. He'll never be able to fulfill the shukr of one breath. The right of the shukr of one breath also we can't fulfill. What about all Allah's ni'mats? Where are we going to fulfill the shukr? Therefore, the greatest expression of shukr is, La nuhsi thana'an alayk. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allah, we are totally incapable of praising you as you deserve to be praised. You are as you have praised yourself. That is the height of our expression of shukr and of the hamd of Allah Ta'ala. So in any case, now this rahmat is what we are totally dependent on in every facet of life, every step that we take, every breath that we breathe in, every gaze, every word we speak, every movement, anything and everything, every thought. If Allah's grace is not there, in one moment a person can lose his mind, become insane. Everything, we totally dependent on Allah Ta'ala's rahmat. And here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, ask for this rahmat. But ask for this rahmat in which particular angle here? Allahumma arhamni bitarkil ma'asi abadam ma abqaitani. Allah, please shower this mercy on me in the manner and form that you help me to refrain from sin till the last breath, abadan, till I'm alive. The last breath, Ya Allah, you save me from committing disobedience, getting involved in sin. Enable me to refrain and leave out every disobedience. This is the height of Allah's rahmat. If a person gets some material benefit, then that he understands to be Allah's rahmat. But he got the tawfiq of coming into the masjid for salah, he regards it as a favor to Allah. Whereas that is Allah's height of his rahmat. Person was tempted to look at some haram on the phone, but he suppressed it and he decided, no, this is wrong, I'm not going to do it. But he regards it as his great achievement, but that was Allah's rahmat. But now we have to earn that rahmat. And here, together with the various other things to be done to earn that rahmat, one crucial aspect is dua, begging Allah's help. So it's no achievement of any person that he did something that was supposed to be done, or he refrained from something that was supposed to be refrained from. If it was Allah's mercy along him, upon him, then that will happen. We have to earn that mercy. So yeah, the dua is, O Allah, irhamni, have mercy on me, shower your rahmat upon me. In this manner and form, bitarkil ma'asi, that I give up sin. Until when? Not till, for example, now if it's Ramadan, then till Ramadan finishes all. Or now somebody is in Hajj, then till I get back home. Or now a person is at some auspicious time and occasion. And once this is over, no, abadan, forever. That's the dua to make. To ask Allah Ta'ala. Allah forbid. Let alone asking Allah Ta'ala for tawfiq to stay away from sin. We are often hoping and wishing for sin. Wishing I come right with some whatever. And it might sound absurd. Once one person came, young person, must be in his early 20s or something, and very, very worried. Please make dua for him. So what dua must make? So his girlfriend is upset, she now broke off. So must make dua that this relationship gets restored now, Zubillah. Al-Iyazubillah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The height of ignorance and the height of audacity against Allah Ta'ala, that a person is going to ask somebody to make dua for his sin to carry on, na'uzubillah. Either he is so ignorant that he doesn't even regard it as sin anymore, which is so dangerous, that where one is a person genuinely was so ignorant, he didn't even know something was wrong, but he understands that this is wrong, but he starts regarding it as fine. That can put his iman on the line. That will put his iman on the line. So in any case, this aspect about this rahmat of Allah Ta'ala in this form, that Ya Allah, you grant me this tawfiq to stay away from sin. Why? Because everything on the positive side is attainable through this avenue of staying away from sin. And all the negatives happen through sin. Whatever good a person wants, that contentment, that peace, that happiness, the good of dunya, the good of akhirat, then the avenue of that is iman and righteous actions. And whatever goes off, then according to the clear ayat of the Quran Sharif, the numerous ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this happens as a result of sin. And therefore the greatest rahmat is that a person gains this rahmat that he is now safe from haram, safe from disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Among the things, the harms that come as a result of sin, because now that is what we want to be safe from, so we must understand it. So among the harms, some of the things that are mentioned in the ahadith, in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, in the ahadith, the crux of it. Among the things that we are very greatly desirous of, number one, top of the list, our greatest concern, worry, no matter how much we have sometimes, is our rizq. That's a daily issue. And rizq Allah has kept in, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِمْ. The one who adopts taqwa, the fear of Allah Ta'ala, refrains from sin, Allah will give him a solution to every problem. Allah will give him a solution to every problem by the promise of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif. And وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِمْ. Allah will grant him rizq from sources he cannot imagine. Now this is on the positive side of it. That he wants that rizq with afiyat, with ease, with izzat, with honor, without having to go about it in a way that he's now trampling people's rights, hurting people in the process, causing injury to others, usurping people's rights, committing zulm on others, with izzat in the correct manner. And it will come with barakat. What is the process for that? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. He adopts taqwa, Allah will open the pathways for that. That he will gain his rizq with afiyat, with ease. And he'll get it with izzat. And Allah will give him a solution to every problem by the promise of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who can be more truthful than Allah Ta'ala? But a person has sometimes greater reliance in the word of the bank manager who is offering him haram. Don't worry, the facility is available. Facility to what? Facility state door to Jahannam. He's got more reliance in that than what Allah Ta'ala has promised in the Quran Sharif. So now if this is on the positive side, that the person adopt taqwa, he'll get the solution to every problem. Dunya is a place of test. His iman will be tested sometimes. His sabr will be tested. His tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala will be tested. Then how does he react in those situations? But he remains steadfast. He remains patient. Then Allah Ta'ala's help comes and those difficulties just disappear. He wonders where it went away. But this is on the side of taqwa. So then the person does the opposite. He abandons taqwa. He goes headlong into sin. So then the opposite will happen. Forget getting the solution to every problem. It becomes problem upon problem. And rizq becomes very difficult. Then every person wants barakat. And barakat is really what's to be aspired for. If there's barakat, then there'll be goodness in everything. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Had the people of the villages, this is referring to a specific ayat in the Quran Sharif, incident, that if they had, now this is not just one incident, it's a principle that is being explained. Initially it might have referred to a particular community and people, but the principle is being explained in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, that this is the principle till Qiyamah. That had they adopted iman, and had they undertook taqwa, accepted iman, and they lived their life with taqwa, what would have been the case? You would have opened out the barakat. You would have opened out the doors of barakat from the heavens and the earth. So now this is the side of the positive end. Want the barakat? This is a prescription. Barakat in what? Barakat is not confined only to rands and cents and dollars and pounds and whatever. No, no, there's barakat in everything. There's barakat in a home. Barakat in a home that will get filled with material things. If it gets filled up with material things, but there's no happiness in the home, what's the point? It gets filled up with material things, but everybody is at loggerheads. So what? Who's going to enjoy those material comforts? The most important thing in that barakat of the home is that the people of the home will feel comfortable with each other. That's the barakat of their home. There'll be barakat in the even the very simple things of their home. It is not the material things in itself that give comfort. If there's comfort in the heart, then the person will enjoy the external comfort. But if the heart is in turmoil, then all these things are meaningless. And the comfort of the heart is barakat. Allah Ta'ala grants it in the heart. It comes from where? Allahu anna ahla al-qura amanu wattaqaw. That they had iman and taqwa. And the taqwa, iman and taqwa opens the doors of barakat. And those barakat, it brings all these blessings. It brings that goodness in a home, that happiness, that good feeling. Dunya is dunya, there are some hiccups here and there. But that's part of the challenge of life. But those hiccups get sorted out very, very easily, without any major issue. And life carries on, gets better than what it was, when there's barakat. And if barakat is absent, there's no barakat, then it's another story, Allah save us. So this is, now we are looking for that goodness, that happiness, so that rahmat, we're looking for that rahmat, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us, ask for it. But together with asking for it, we know the principle of dunya, that there's dua, and there's dawa also. We have to make dua obviously, that's the most important aspect. But then Allah Ta'ala made this place Darul Asbab, a place of means. So we adopt the means. So the means to bring down barakat also, the means to bring down the goodness, that too is means. And the means of that is iman and taqwa. Then the aspect that they are asking, Ya Allah, help me to save, Ya grant me your rahmat by saving me from sins. Why? Because sins become a means of all the problems and difficulties, the dissension, the disputes, the quarreling. In one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah narrates this in his musnad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes a qasam of Allah ta'ala. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ مَا تَوَادَّ إِثْنَانِ. That two people are never in a close relationship, whether it is now spouses, two friends, family members, whatever. So two people are enjoying a good relationship, mashallah. And then something causes them to be split apart. Then why is this? What becomes the reason for it? What is the underlying issue? إِلَّا بِذَنْبٍ يَحْدُثُهُ أَحَدُهُمَا. One of them have been involved in some wrong. The evil of that wrong has become a wedge in the relationship. One pious person among the people of the past, he says, when I make a mistake, I falter somewhere, I see the effect of it in my horse also. He starts becoming rebellious. I go and make istighfar, I go and make tawbah, I turn to Allah Ta'ala, I seek Allah's forgiveness, the horse also starts behaving correctly. I immediately perceive the effect of it in my horse as well. Unfortunately, one of the things that sins do also, it blinds a person. Like in the ayat of the Quran Sharif that we recited, Allah Ta'ala says, don't be like those, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who forgot Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala made them forget themselves. They forgot Allah Ta'ala's obedience. They forgot they have to be loyal to Allah Ta'ala. They became loyal to the makhluk in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. They forgot they must become loyal to Allah Ta'ala. They were more loyal to their own ego, more loyal to their own desires. So now what happened? Allah Ta'ala made them forget themselves. How does a person forget himself? Can a person forget himself? Maybe you ask him who you are, he says he doesn't know, maybe he lost his memory. That's not what's being referred to here. That he'll forget his name, forget his address, and forget some other personal particulars, whatever. He forgets who he is, that he'll forget where he's headed to. He's headed to Akhirat. He'll forget how imminent moth is, that any time he could leave this world. He'll forget what his purpose of life is. He'll go into something completely in another direction. He'll forget that he's ill, spiritually ill. He won't have any idea of it. He'll be a state of denial or state of unconsciousness about it, totally oblivious. He'll forget that I am spiritually ill. So when he hasn't even remembered that he's spiritually ill, can't even understand that, where he's going to go to the person or go somewhere to look for some kind of treatment for that illness? Doesn't have any idea. He'll forget that there's even a treatment for it. He'll just wallow in the darkness until he falls flat, Allah forbid. So Allah is saying, don't be like those. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who forgot Allah Ta'ala. The outcome of this was they forgot themselves. Then the person forgot he's a father. How he's behaving in front of his own children in such an immoral way. Forgot his husband. More than everything else, he forgot he's an ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that he's now going headlong into the ways of the Yahud and Nasara and embracing their lifestyle and behaving like them. And what they have presented to the dunya, that becomes it. That becomes things that people will fight over. Find some parent coming to fight over with the ustad in the... Why the ustad sent the child to go and get the haircut properly? Double, this true length haircut is not right. So then, but parent will come to fight with the ustad in the madrasa over the true length haircut of the child. Why did the ustad take any offense to it? But now where did that come from? It came from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'udhu billah. Any sahabi ever had it like that? Any of the tabi'een ever had this kind of hairstyle? Any of the tabi tabi'een? Anyone among the muhaddiseen? Anyone among the fuqaha? Anyone among any of the pious predecessors? Anybody with any zeal of iman? The muballighin, the mujahideen, where it came from? And now we'll fight over it. It must be like that. And who are you to tell my child to do it differently? Where it came from? It came from an inner thief. That thief wants the way of the Yahud and Nasara. That inner thief is doing all this. But now the person for ansahum anfusahum, he forgot. He forgot he is an ummati of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He should be wanting to give his life for the sunnah. But he's ready to fight over going with the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. For those who are causing the mayhem and the genocide against the ummah. But he wants that in deep down in there is their way. So now this is the effect of that. When a person gets in that cycle of sin, then he becomes blinded. So now this, all these outcomes are the outcomes of this involvement in sin. It causes that zulmat in the heart, as a result of which a person is in this constant unease. He's looking like the most comfortable person around, but within himself, if he's not got something to keep amusing himself, something to keep himself distracted in some way, therefore that phone or whatever has to be constantly on. While he's eating, his family also can't get his attention because the attention is stuck there. Why? Because there's something missing inside. And now that something missing inside is what? Because there's a darkness. Zulmat. Zulmat. In any dark, if suddenly Allah forbid, this whole place becomes completely dark, the lights go off and it's a dark night, it's a very uneasy feeling. Person is in his home, suddenly there's load shedding, whatever, and it's all completely pitch black. Totally dark. Very uneasy feeling till some light comes on. If the darkness is right within him, deep down in his heart, that won't be uneasy. That won't make him feel out of place. That uneasiness is right there. And as a result, now he has to keep amusing himself with something or the other. So the solution again, this dua, Allahumma arhamni bitarkil ma'asi. Asking Allah Ta'ala and then making that effort. Ya Allah, you help me, you shower your rahmat on me, by helping me to stop sin, completely give up all sin, all haram. And this will bring the barakat. We only just touched on 2-3 things. There's so many things that have been mentioned in this regard. So many ayat of the Quran Sharif, so many ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But this is the solution, this is the path. Allahumma arhamni bitarkil ma'asi. Abadamma abqaitani. Till the last breath. Then the second aspect in this dua is, وَرْحَمْنِي أَنْ أَتَكَلَّفَ مَا لَا يَعْنِينِي. Allah, save me from getting involved in things that don't concern me. لَا يَعْنِي. Things that don't concern me. Ya Allah, save me from falling into these things. Save me from getting caught up in all these things. Now, لَا يَعْنِي is a very broad discussion, very, very detailed discussion, which the ulama have written so much about this. In the Quran Sharif, in one ayat, Allah Ta'ala describes the qualities of the mu'mineen, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. لَا يَعْنِي, this law, futile things. Ya Allah, save me from things that are futile. Again, we're talking about futile, asking Allah's rahmat, warhamni. Ya Allah, this is rahmat. I'm asking for rahmat. Subhanallah, if somebody tells us that now I made dua of rahmat for you, that you should stop futile things, what rahmat you ask for? Nabi Islam is teaching us, ask for this rahmat. Warhamni an atakallafa ma la ya'nini. Allah, you shower your rahmat on me in which manner and form? That I must abandon futility. Now futility, what is futile? Futile is something that has got no benefit, neither in deen, nor of any dunya benefit. Neither deeni benefit, nor dunya benefit. It's just futile. Now it gets given different names. Sometimes that name may be applicable to other things as well, which may not be entirely futile. But often, in the guise of these names, people just go on pastime. Sometimes they call it a hobby. Maybe something might be not entirely futile. Some hobby, some other things, but of no benefit to a person, neither in dunya or akhirat. So whatever different names are given to it, and as mentioned, sometimes it may not be entirely futile. Sometimes it may not be futile at all too. But under these names, many things are totally futile. But then these not just become part and parcel of a person's life, they control his life. How often it takes control of the person. And then one is we're talking about futile, but how often these so-called futilities, where they lead a person to. Now one of the most futile things that people generally do, the amount of screen time is they take note. So how much percentage of that was something constructive, something beneficial in some way or the other, and what percentage of that was futile completely? And one is, if it was futile only, Allah forbid, what percentage is haram? What percentage is completely destructive to a person's heart, to a person's iman, to a person's akhirat, to his connection with Allah Ta'ala? Severs that connection. Completely immerses himself in that darkness. So now, we are being taught that ask for rahmat to stay away from even the futility. Because the futility is a stepping stone to sin. When a person becomes accustomed to futility, then he becomes addicted to it. But then that addictions don't stay at a point. Addictions keep nudging, that this is now no more giving that kick. So shaitan kicks in further. So now he goes into something else. Now shaitan gives him another kick from there. So this is dua, asking Allah Ta'ala, وَرْحَمْنِي أَنْ أَتَكَلَّفَ مَا لَا يَعْنِينِ. In one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرُكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِينِ. That the goodness and the perfection of a person's Islam is that he even gives up futile things. The ulama state that this one short line, it has encompassed everything of taqwa in it. It's among the very, very concise statements of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In these few words, the entire aspect of taqwa in all its different branches, everything is in it. This layani, another word for it, fudul, excess, something not required, out of line. So this fudul either can be in kalam, person's speech, out of line, or just futile, just going on and on and on, needlessly. And one is now some small talk sometimes to make a guest feel comfortable, for example, or to just make somebody feel a little bit at ease, or even just to freshen the mind, but permissible talk, understood, that's fine, Shariat has given permission for that, there's not anything wrong in it. But now when that becomes the morning to evening and day, and after a person finished off 2 hours, 3 hours, tries to summarize it, okay, how many beneficial things came out of this? Almost nothing. Just on and on, but nothing beneficial out of it. Nothing beneficial in any form. One is, okay, it was not a strictly speaking dini talk, but there was some genuine constructive dunya benefit, or permissible benefit. And just nothing. So, fuzul kalam, then you get fudulun nalla. Looking in a way that is fuzul. Then you get fudul thoughts. Meaning one is what was involuntary, just came into a person's mind, he ignored it, and that was the end of it. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. That's ghair ikhtiyari, it is involuntary, and a person is not responsible for something involuntary, but he didn't engage it. He didn't entertain it. He then turned his attention elsewhere and carried on. Came 100 times, he did the same thing 100 times. No matter what shaitan whispers in his mind in that way, but he ignored it 100 times too, it can't harm him. But he didn't engage it. Didn't entertain it. But now he starts entertaining these futile things, and he's just running his imagination, and he's building his castles in the air, and sometimes his castles in the air, and sometimes his dungeons in the air. He's worrying about things that may never happen till Qiyamah also. And he's getting, his pressure is going up as a result of all the things that, but what if this happens, and what if that happens, and he's building all these dungeons in the air, and فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ One hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if, but if, and if, this if opens the doorway to shaitan's actions. So rather do something constructive, think about something, okay, what, how do I improve myself, or whatever, some beneficial thing, something that will be of good to one. So this fudul and layani of the thoughts, subhanallah, in which manner this has encompassed everything. So this was the second part of the dua, وَرْحَمْنِي أَنْ أَتَكَلَّفَ مَا لَا يَعْنِينِي. And the last aspect in this as mentioned, it's a part of a lengthier dua, وَرْزُقْنِي حُسْنَ النَّظَرِ فِي مَا يُرْضِيكَ عَنِّي. Allah grant me that good insight, give me the insight to understand what will make you pleased with me. In this moment in time, what should I do that will make you become pleased with me? It is not a matter of fulfilling one's desire. For example, desire. Now one person, one doctor mentioned once that he received a case for an admission. Admission for what? The person said, no, it's my father, just admit him. Why? What happened? Something is, just admit him, whatever it is, just going out for a holiday now, and we get back, and now you get taken care of, he'll be in hospital, he'll get taken care of. So now the father became like a liability. The father became like a liability now, became like a burden. And now he became a barrier, and he became a burden now, because he's hampering now the free movement. Now he want to go for a holiday, can't take him along, and can't leave him behind at home either. So now this money is enough, so rather admit him into a hospital, it's safer too, he'll get his 3 meals on time, and carry on. So now, let alone a holiday, if that is the case, and a person says, no, I am going for Umrah, Is that umrah going to bring Allah's pleasure, or taking care of that elderly person, that parent, under whose feet lies Jannat, is that going to bring Allah's pleasure? If a person doesn't have this husnul nazar, this correct insight, he'll think he's making good choices, but he will be actually doing that which is not bringing Allah's pleasure to him, and bringing the opposite. So that insight in being able to make the right choices, what choice? Choice of what? Choice of those things that will draw down Allah's pleasure upon me. That is the ultimate. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. That is what we have to aspire for. Allah must become pleased. Now sometimes, I just don't have the heart to now entertain anything more. This person, whatever has been said and done, I don't want to see this person ever in my life. Complete cut off. So, understood, if something has been said and done that was offensive, hurtful, is wrong, and whoever has done something of that nature, they're supposed to be making amends. But now I need Allah's pleasure. I need Allah to be happy with me. What's going to earn Allah's pleasure? In one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahaba, that should I tell you, Allah ukhbirukum, should I tell you, what is greater in virtue than fasting, meaning all the nafil fast, min siyamin, Allah ukhbirukum bi afdala min darajati salati wa siyami wa sadaqa, all the nafil salah, fasting, sadaqa, millions, billions. Person does all this to earn Allah's pleasure. Otherwise, if he's doing it for some ulterior motive, it's all become a azab on him. So he's doing it for Allah's pleasure. But now he wants Allah's pleasure, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking the Sahaba, you want to know something greater in drawing Allah's pleasure? These are very great amal. So they said definitely, because they wanted to always know that. Said, Islahu Zatil Bain. Reconciling. There's some problem, two people are not on talking terms, there's some issue, whatever. Something has happened. So now somebody takes the effort to go and reconcile them. Okay, let bygones be bygones. Make Allah happy. Let's become one family again. Let's be friends again. Doesn't matter now if we cannot remain in that level of friendship that we now spending the same amount of time and meeting each other so often. But we cordial. We don't have any ill feeling. Our hearts are clean towards each other. So now, somebody came and made the effort, went to one party, to the other, to try and reconcile. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this action, now that person could have spent that time maybe, for example, making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, that these people carry on. I got my own work to do. If they want to be at loggerheads, let them be. I got other things to do. So he could have been doing something else, but he decided, on this particular occasion and this situation that is in front of my eyes here now, this will earn Allah's pleasure for me greater. So now when he will understand that, when he has this husnul nazar, when he has been blessed with this insight, then he'll be able to prioritize correctly. Prioritize even between the amal of deen, that right now which is the greater action for me. So now we're making dua for that. وَرْزُقْنِي حُسْنَ النَّظَرِ فِي مَا يُرْضِيكَ عَنِّي. Allah bless me with this husnul nazar, with this basirat, with this insight, so that I can make the right choices. Choice for what? Those choices that will bring me closer to you, that will earn me your pleasure. So subhanAllah, in this one short part of this lengthier dua, we can't even scratch the surface of the lessons that come from it, let alone get into the depths of it. But whatever we have, with the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, managed to discuss a little bit, this truth is a great amount for us if we latch onto it. If we latch onto this much also, inshallah, it will take us way ahead. And the most important thing, the first aspect, the tarkil ma'asi. We have to make that determined effort to make tawbah from all sin and stay away from all sin. Adopt the right environments, the right company. Stay away from things that lead us to sin. And then inshallah we'll see how the barakat and blessings start coming in our lives. How all those problems start slowly just fizzling out and disappearing. And then we'll feel the meaning of life. And then there'll be a purpose in our life. It'll just not be a meaningless life going and just helter-skelter. There'll be some meaning to this life. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make zikr for a few minutes and then go out. On Hadith Sharif, it is reported, La ilaha illallah, laysa laha hijabun dunallah. The one who says La ilaha illallah, there is no barrier between this La ilaha illallah in reaching Allah Ta'ala. Everything, it goes directly to Allah Ta'ala. And this is the dhikr that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah Ta'ala for a special dhikr. He was given the same dhikr. So such a powerful dhikr. This is the foundation of our iman. We should try to make an effort daily at least 100 times. Recite La ilaha illallah in our own time, space, in our homes. Make a time and daily with great concentration when saying La ilaha, bring to mind that all the ghayrullah we've taken and thrown out of our hearts. Illallah, the love of Allah Ta'ala is settling in our hearts. Inshallah, this will bring alive our heart and it will make us more enthusiastic towards righteous deeds and will turn our hearts away from wrong. Recite Durood Sharif. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 Allah, 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 Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa ta'ala. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا الا غفرته ولا هما الا فرجته ولا حاجة بيدك رضا الا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا ارحم الراحمين يا ارحم الراحمين يا ارحم الراحمين. اله العالمين يا الله most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. يا الله forgive us, يا الله. يا الله forgive all of me, take my innocence, يا الله. يا الله forgive me, we did the good deed, we stay with you, يا الله. اللهم اغفر لأمة امه النبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهد واصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. إله العالمين يا الله. يا الله make us your obedient servants, يا الله. Make us your loyal slaves, يا الله. يا الله show your rahmat upon us, يا الله. يا الله show your rahmat in the form of saving us from all sin, يا الله. Show every rahmat upon us, يا الله. إله العالمين we acknowledge we are not deserving of anything, يا الله. يا الله but we are totally dependent on you alone, يا الله. يا الله without your help and without your mercy we can do nothing, يا الله. يا الله you show your rahmat upon us, يا الله. Show your mercy upon
Allah, save us every sin, Ya Allah. Allah, put the hatred of sin in our hearts, Ya Allah. Save us all, Ya Allah. Whatever is internal, whatever is external, Ya Allah. Cleanse and purify our hearts of all the sins, Ya Allah. Remove the pride, the malice, the jealousy, the ego, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your hatred, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your hatred, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the love of the Sahaba al-Kiram, Ya Allah. For the love of their way of life, Ya Allah. For the love of the pious people, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, Ya Allah. Enable us to live the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us the topic of all that which pleases you, Ya Allah. Grant us the correct insight, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, Ya Allah. Enable us to see the priorities as they should be, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, enable us to perform our five times salah of Jama'ah, Ya Allah. With khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us the tawfiq of, Ya Allah, reciting the Quran Sharif in abundance daily, Ya Allah. Allah, keep us in your remembrance all the time, Ya Allah. Make us forever conscious of you, Ya Allah. Save us from the traps of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, Ya Allah. Allah, put the love of deen in our hearts, Ya Allah. The true passion for deen in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, accept us for the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. Accept our progeny still qiyamah for the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah. With ikhlas, with afiyat, with qabuliyat, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, Ya Allah. Allah, you save us all the haram, Ya Allah. All the vices, Ya Allah. All the evil qualities cleanse us from it, Ya Allah. Allah, all those who are sick with them, shifai, kaabula, haakula, mustadirra, daima. Remove every taste of the ravens, Ya Allah. Allah, those in any kind of difficulty, hardship, and hope, and afiyat, Ya Allah. Those who are in debt, spend their debts, get paid out with ease and afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Grant us abundant halal and tayyib risk, fruitful barakat, Ya Allah. Save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those, Ya Allah, in any kind of depression, anxiety, worry, grief. Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Fill the hearts with sukoon and itminan, Ya Allah. Fill the hearts with sukoon, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, give us the reality that you have already announced, Ya Allah, in your Quran Sharif. Allah, we think it is Allah, we talk about it from but the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala in the heart of peace. Ilahu al-Alamin, bless us with that remembrance in the form of your meetings, Ya Allah. In the form of remembering you, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, and bless us with that sukoon and itminan of the heart, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, Ya Allah, throughout the world, over the Muslims, Ya Allah. Every Muslim grant them afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from all trials and tribulations, Ya Allah. Allah, we are true beings, Ya Allah. Allah, don't put us to test, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, with afiyat, take us through, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, Ya Allah. Allah, give the entire world afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. All the world where the Muslims are really suffering, Ya Allah. Remove their pain and difficulty, Ya Allah. Remove their suffering, Ya Allah. Allah, grant afiyat to our brothers and sisters of Palestine, Ya Allah. Allah, to people of Sudan, Ya Allah. For the world where the Muslims are any difficulty, Ya Allah. Grant the total afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, Ya Allah. Allah, keep us steadfast on Iman and Islam, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with breath, Ya Allah. Take us with perfect Iman, Ya Allah. Raise us to the day of Qiyamah with perfect Iman, Ya Allah. Allah, give us the passion of, Ya Allah. Practicing on deen, Ya Allah. Passing on deen brothers, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, Ya Allah. All those who ask us to be dua for them, all the ways they have to do dua. Allah, fulfill each one's guys, meaning, pious aspirations. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahu al-Alamin, Ya Allah. And all that we have asked for, Ya Allah. Out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. But we should have been asking for, Ya Allah. Without asking, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر مستعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.